let's just say you received a signal tomorrow. And so, you know, your ears, both physically and metaphorically, you know, you prick those up and suddenly the New York Times is calling and other people are calling and they say, what you got? And you say, well, we think we might have something. You call other people, they confirm, yes, we have something, and we receive some sort of signal. What would you anticipate that signal would be like?
Well, Ian, the thing is that when you talk about the kind of SETI that we do most often, which is radio SETI, keep in mind there are other ways to search. We also search for flashing lights. But let's talk about the kind of SETI that everybody knows about, the kind that they saw in the movie Contact.
Okay. I love that movie, by the way. Do you like that movie?
Well, I have to tell you quite honestly, the first time I saw it, I thought, I don't know, it seems like it didn't know how to end and the middle was soft and all that. The second time I saw it, I thought it got better. And by the third time I saw it, I thought it was a pretty darn good film.
Yeah, I like it a lot, actually. But all right, so you're watching that. That would be weird, too. Is that anything like at all? I mean, when in the movie Contact, is that anything like the day of a typical SETI astronomer?
Well, there were some things in there that were accurate. I mean, you know, the SETI Institute where I work, I mean, we were consultants for the film.
Sure.
And of course, the film was based on Carl Sagan's novel, and Carl Sagan certainly knew a lot about SETI, so generally speaking, it's pretty accurate. But, you know, Hollywood is Hollywood, and they had a few things that weren't quite right. And indeed, when Jodie Foster finds the signal, how does she do that? She climbs onto the hood of her car.
Right.
She puts
with
on a
laptop.
With a laptop, that's right. I don't know when she's playing solitaire or sending email or, you know, just surfing eBay. I don't know. But in any case, she's got a pair of earphones on. Now, that's slightly wrong because that means she can only listen to two channels at once, right?
Okay.
Whereas, in fact, a real SETI experiment, you know, you don't know quite where on the dial you should be looking, so you monitor as much of it as you can, which means that real SETI experiments monitor, as I've said, tens of millions of channels. So, you know, Jody really should have been wearing tens of millions of earphones, but, of course, that would crowd the shot, so they didn't do that.
Well, but, I mean, let's just go with the moment that, I mean, I wear earphones. So she found the exact pulse. She found the exact signal, and so she was able to hone in on one signal. That's the premise, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, there's a signal coming back, and it, you know, it sounds like somebody just pushed a piano out of a 10th floor window.
Right. It has a very, has a total quality to it.
That's right. A real cacophonous quality.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
In any case, she hears this thing and, you know, she wakes up and, you know, she closes her laptop and she starts yelling and screaming and, you know, she's even yelling and screaming into a walkie-talkie as she races back to the control room. That's probably not terribly accurate. At most radio observatories, they don't really want you to use walkie-talkies, but okay.
Well, right, because it would interfere?
Of course. Okay. So normally they have you check your walkie-talkies at the door, but never mind all that. Okay. The thing that was really wrong about that was that she gets a signal, and she knows right away it's the aliens on the line. See, that's not the way it happens. To begin with, of course, you're not using earphones. I mean, that would be really, really tedious to sit there 24 hours a day listening with earphones, even if you could somehow monitor tens of millions of channels. In fact, it's a computer that's doing the monitoring. The computer picks up a signal, and it tells you, of course, but you don't start yelling and screaming because you do get signals all the time. So, you know, there are checks, and they take a few hours, and then, you know, most of the signals disappear, but there are a couple that might survive that. And you got to check those and so on. It takes days. It would probably take a week before you were really sure, hey, you know, 99% certainty, this is what we're looking for. So you don't have that eureka moment like they do in the movies.
Okay. But you just said something there, and again, I'm the dumbest guy I know, so help me out with this. You say you get signals all the time. They just disappear.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we think that since you got some sort of signal that you got something?
Well, you clearly got something. The question is what you got. Now, when I say disappear, that was shorthand for saying that when you check them out, you can rule them out as being extraterrestrial. I'll give you an example.
Go ahead.
Suppose you get a signal and it's at, you know, 1500.000 megahertz on your radio dial. Right. Well, you know that that's a human transmitter because of that 0.0000. I mean, you know, what are the chances that their definition of a megahertz is the same as ours, right? That's some human engineer. You can be sure of that. Okay. That's just a very simple test. Here's another one for you. If the signal's coming in and it stays rock solid at one spot on the dial, well, that's not ET either, because we're on a rotating planet, as just about everybody knows, right? And that means that, you know, we're moving relative to the stars, of course, a little bit, because the Earth's rotating, and the amount that we're moving changes all the time. So that means that the signals are what are called Doppler shifted. In other words, they change frequency slightly all the time. Anything that's really coming from somewhere out in space changes. But if you pick up a signal and it's not changing its position on the dial slightly, then you know that's a transmitter that's bolted to the Earth somewhere, and you can throw that one out too.
So a transmitter of terrestrial origin, obviously, but what, like a radio transmitter, cell phone tower?
There's lots of those things. Okay. It could just be the radars down at the local airport, or just radars from a military aircraft, or the kind of interference we get most often, actually, is from telecommunications satellites, because we've got thousands of these things wheeling around the Earth now. And so no matter where you put your antennas, you can't hide anymore from all this interference from these telecommunications satellites, because they're above your head.